Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine in all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
How many sermons have you listened to? Can you guess? How many do you remember? My literary friend Fred Buechner says that sermons are like dirty jokes. Even the best ones are hard to remember. And yet, Sunday after Sunday, a priest climbs into the pulpit and dares to speak in the name of God to the people of God. First time I ever preached was on a theological education Sunday, my first year in seminary back in the Dark Ages. I was invited back to my home parish, and I climbed up into the pulpit after having worked and reworked that sermon to death. And as I climbed up into the pulpit, engraved there so no one else could see it, were the words, "We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." Well, that gave me pause. Would they see Jesus in that sermon? Well, I went ahead and preached that long prepared sermon, and I was doubtful that the congregation could see Jesus in it. And that was made clear to me as I drove back to Sewanee and listened to the tape recording of the sermon response group that I had asked to listen and critique the sermon. I almost ran off the road. One man said, "What the heck," and I'm not sure he used the word heck, "what the heck was he talking about?" Well, who knows? You may say the same thing some Sundays. Some preachers use a lot of humor. Some are very serious. Some don't write out a sermon. Some read every word. But the question is, will the listeners see Jesus? And if so, a further question: what Jesus? What Jesus will they see? This morning's gospel lesson from Luke is about the first time that Jesus goes back home to Nazareth and stands up and speaks in the synagogue in which he had grown up. And now, no doubt, his family was there, Mary, his brother. And don't you just wonder what they expected when he stood up to speak? Of course, at first, there was a feeling of pride for this hometown boy who had made good in the countryside around there. Luke tells us all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Now, he could have sat down after that, and everyone could have gone home singing his praises. But Jesus didn't leave well enough alone. Instead, he reminded the congregation that the prophets Elijah and Elisha showed them that God was not just for the acceptable folks, but for everyone. Not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And when that congregation understood what Jesus was saying, Luke tells us, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. They wanted to kill Jesus for what he had said to them. Now, that passage ends with that he passed through them. We're not going to deal with that. Not sure just how that worked. So, Jesus' first sermon in his home congregation was less than spectacular. Initially, he was received with enthusiasm as the hometown boy who had achieved success. But when his message was at odds with what the people wanted to hear, the mood of the crowd changed from adulation to anger. Though he has proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, he will find no such acceptance of himself. He was a failure. He was a failure in the eyes of his hometown crowd. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that you and I are called to follow a failure. We are called to follow a failure. Rachel Held Evans, who lives up the road from here in Dayton, in her book, Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church, I recommend it highly to you, writes this: it's strange that Christians so rarely talk about failure. When we claim to follow a guy whose three-year ministry was cut short by his crucifixion. She writes further, Christians may need to get used to the idea of measuring significance by something other than money, fame, and power. So let's think about that this morning. How do we define success? Isn't the norm bigger is better? Look at the trend at the so-called mega churches. Look at the televangelists who make $40 million a year and live in palatial mansions. Compare that to us here at St. Thaddeus, when if we have 50 people in church, it's a good Sunday. Do we think we are a failure? Last Sunday in the Inquirer's class, someone asked about the differences in crosses, specifically why some churches feature a crucifix, the bleeding, dying Jesus with the nails holding him to the cross, versus a plain cross. And we talked about the suffering Christ that is depicted in a crucifix, and the empty cross, which is a reminder of the resurrection. Agony versus ecstasy. Most of us want to focus on success, not suffering. That was not Jesus' way. Here's the mystery that he shows us. In dying, we find life. And if the gospel doesn't offend us, maybe we haven't really heard it. The Jesus who in the eyes of the world was a failure isn't some therapeutic figure who pats little children on their heads and says, everything will be all right. No. He is someone who sets himself against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Roman rulers, the priests and scribes, Democrats and Republicans, socialists and capitalists, and any other creature who presumes upon the divine. And that's why he couldn't be tolerated. That's why after only 3 years of public ministry, he ends up being executed by hanging on a cross. Remember, we follow a failure. A failure who tells the truth about the realities of our world, where the lowly are looked down upon, where the poor sleep in cardboard boxes under the interstate overpasses, where the captives remain in their prisons, and where the rich live exceedingly full lives. If the gospel doesn't offend you and me, then maybe we haven't really heard it. It just might be that what the world sees as failure, God sees as faithfulness. My friends, we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. And that's what we discover in the life of Jesus. In the eyes of the world, he was a failure. All of his friends and his followers deserted him. He was alone on the cross. But he was faithful. My prayer for all of us this day is that we too might be faithful followers of a failure. Amen.
Please stand with me as we profess our faith with the reading of the Nicene Creed found on Book of Common Prayer, page 358. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on your bulletin insert. We are the beloved Church of God, children of God. In faith and love, we come to pray for the church and for the world, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. For peace on earth and in the hearts of national leaders, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the people on earth, that they may listen to the prophets God sends, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who teach God's word, that they may be faithful in guiding people to the light of truth and life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For parents, grandparents, and teachers, that they may live with the gospel each day, sharing their love with all, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the young people in our neighborhood, that they may be inspired by the ideals of Jesus and follow him in their daily living, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are afflicted with pain, sorrow, or loneliness, for all who care for them, especially those on our prayer list. For Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Jerome, Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Colton, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Karan, Jeff, Regina, Ruth, James, Audrey, Irene, Larry, Joyce, Michael, Pat, Joe, Debbie, Margaret, LaDonna, Jackie, Laura, Pat, Jennifer and Victoria, Linda, Bobby, Jack, Baylor, Dwayne, Greg, Johnny, Shay, Amber, Eddie and Diane, Bob, Randall, Ed. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating a birthday this week, especially Sally Sieg, Deb Bryant, John Hawkins, Gene Sieg, Tracy Costco, Joseph Camp, Joan Guthrie, Amy Simon, and Pete Bartholomew. God of all nations, look with love on this world and on its people. Bless the work of your creation and help us to be strong in following Jesus, who is our brother and our Lord, now and forever. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess
that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by the way we have done, and by the way we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we only repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may lie to your will.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Peace.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Several announcements to which I'd call your attention. First of all the new forward day by days are available in the narthex. These are wonderful little meditation booklets. We invite you to pick one up, take it home. This Friday and Saturday, the Diocesan Convention meets in Knoxville, and you will be well represented by Sally Sieg and Jean Sieg and Linda Pennybaker and your clergy. And we pray that you will, we ask you to pray for your delegates as we gather in convention. And also, just 1 week from this Tuesday, believe it or not, is Shrove Tuesday. Lent comes early this year. And the chief pancake maker of the parish would like to address us. Dee? Pancake supper. Any other announcements? I'm sorry? The supper is at 6 o'clock. We'll do Eucharist on Ash Wednesday at two different services. Okay. Any other announcements or questions? Ascribe unto the Lord the honor, do his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ, and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to the heavenly country, where with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who led the wise men by the shining of the star to find the Christ, the light from light, lead you also in your pilgrimage to find the Lord. Amen. May God, who sent the Holy Spirit to rest upon the only begotten at his baptism in the Jordan River, pour out that Spirit on you who have come to the waters of new birth. Amen. May God, by the power that turned water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana, transform your lives and make glad your hearts. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.